You know, at the beginning of the service, we saw just a bleak, rough wooden cross. It's now transformed into the object of great beauty. I think it sort of mirrors the wonderful way that what God did with that horrible cross on Friday and today, Easter, made it an object of beauty. It teaches us, I think, about God's amazing ability to take bad situations and turn them around into something good. You know, I believe that's God's special knack, isn't it? That God can indeed bring good out of bad situations. It can fill our lives with hope. It enables us to move forward when things are not going well. It is the same transforming power that we witness at the empty tomb. The power of resurrection, the power of new life. This is indeed the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. And we hear the Easter gospel, and let us rise for the reading of the gospel this day. And it comes from the Gospel of John, 20, the first 18 verses. Now it was early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and she told him, "They've taken our Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." And then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb, and the two of them were running. But the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first, and he bent over, and he saw the linen cloths, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight to the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen cloths, but it was rolled up all by itself. And the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw, and they believed, even though they still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. And the disciples then went back home. But Mary stood crying outside the tomb. And while she was still crying, she bent over and she looked into the tomb. And there she saw two angels there dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. And she answered, "Well, they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've put him." And then she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she really didn't know that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Well, she thought he was the gardener, so she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me, where have you put him? And I will go and I will get him." And Jesus then said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." And so Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that all that she had seen, and that she had seen the Lord. And she related to them what he had told her. Thus ends our gospel for this day. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, it strikes me as quite remarkable that when the writers of the four Gospels come to this most important part of the story they have to tell, it's virtually done in silence. Jesus, who is dead, has now risen. He's here. But there are no angelic alleluias. There's no sudden explosion of light in the sky. There is no mention to any shepherd or visitor in the city. Not a single soul around to see it happen. And then early in the morning, Mary comes by weeping, and she stops by and she sees an empty tomb, and looking around, she sees the one she thought to be the gardener standing there in the shadows. And when he speaks and she recognizes it to be Jesus, she wants to hold him, never let him go, and he stops her. He stops her in saying that he has not yet ascended to be with the Father. And when she declared the good news to the disciples, even they tend to dismiss it as something too good to be true. And even after they witnessed it themselves, remember Thomas, who wouldn't believe it, even until he could put his fingers, his hands in the wounds. It wasn't something, you see, that was announced by the angels. And Jesus didn't chide anyone by saying, "Hey, I'm alive, April Fool." So the way the gospel writers see it, Jesus came back from the death not in a blaze of glory, but probably like a candle flame flickering here and there, and almost like a secret. But he came back as something very precious, very holy, fragile, unbelievable, very true. Jesus returns as the way of love, the one who taught us how to love God and how to love our neighbor and how to actually live that way. And the truth of that message was as unsettling then as it is today. I think the reality is the way of Jesus is a threat to the way the world is, and hope for the way the world really can and should be. Yet we are the Easter people. We are an Easter people, and yet we are shaped by all of those experiences of life and death, the wells of our enduring faith that spring up and speak to the eternal. We see our world, and we see it and grieve. But we grieve not as those who have no hope. And yet how many times, how many tragedies we've witnessed, and I have to continue to remind myself that we are an Easter people, and that no death we experience will be allowed to ever offer the last word. And yet, as we see with the Heifer Project, we see the plight of millions of refugees around the world, and yet we know that the Heifer Project offers some hope. Yet my heart aches for so many others. Immigrants seen as enemies, men and women gunned down with impunity, women trivialized as objects, children going through code red exercises wondering not if, but when. We see war and violence, hatred and desecration. It never seems to end. Death does have its sting. And God speaks. And I hope that our grief is altered by Easter. For I think of that old hymn that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. because I know who holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. You see, death could not stop him. Violence could not stop him. For the love of God, the heart of God is stronger than anything else we have. And I want you to know, God loves you. God blesses you. Christ is risen, for Christ is risen indeed. And may this Easter season be the first day for the rest of your lives. Amen.